morning. If you'd turn with us over into John's Gospel, chapter number 17. I like to preach out of a text that I've not preached out of in years and give you a few thoughts with this, and then I'll be done with my part of the service. But I want to say it's so good to see you here today. Good to hear those Bible pages rustling. Amen. Thank God for my Bible. You got your Bible, hold it up this morning. Thank God for my Bible. Boy, that looks so good. The greatest book's ever been written. It's way ahead of the newspapers. It's way ahead of the forecast. Jesus is coming. What a great text. With this text in Calvary, I feel so little to even read it, much less try to preach something of it, Brother Brian. One of the greatest Scott evangelists, on his deathbed, they said that they read this chapter to him day after day. When John Knox was passing, he said, "I want John 17 read." They'd gather around his bed, they'd read this text. It's the Lord's last night here on earth, and He gives us a prayer that He prays. I'm glad He's our great high priest this morning. The Roman Catholic Church, they put their hope in a man with a gown and speak to a man in a phone booth. A lot of Baptists counting on their preacher to get them there. But there's only one that's going to get us to heaven. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. So here out of His heart, if you would think about this setting now, tomorrow He goes to Calvary. He's been walking through this world for some 33 odd years. Born in a lowly stable by a virgin woman named Mary. His father was not Joseph. The Bible says His father was the Holy Ghost. Therefore, He was born the perfect sacrifice that had never known sin. But in this last night on earth, He has something to say to not only His disciples, but to us. And if it's one main thing I want you to get today is Christ prays for you. Christ prays for you. Here He said these words, spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven. And He said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth, and I finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name to the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me. And they've kept Thy word. They've known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are these." Verse 9, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine." Watch verse 10. "And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them." You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for the sweetness of the Spirit of God in this sanctuary this morning. I want to thank You for these families that have come and brought these little ones. God, we want to remember those that are sick on our prayer list in our church. And You've been so faithful, God, in these pathways to see about people. And I thank You that You are a God that is full of compassion and grace and mercy. We thank You now for the Word of God. I pray that You'd help me a few minutes to be a blessing to the people of God. And I'll be careful to honor You and give You the praise. In Jesus' name we ask You. Amen. And amen. On this last earthly night, the Lord had four directions that He prayed. He prayed in an upward focus. He prayed out of an inward focus. He prayed in an outward focus, and He prayed in an onward focus. Let's look at these few little thoughts today on the upward focus. How was his prayer used? Well, we find in verse number 1, he thought about the Father's glory. He said in this verse 1 of chapter 17, these words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, thy hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. You'll notice in the text with Jesus, he had a very unusual ministry. And Jesus never did bring attention to himself. Matter of fact, when big crowds would gather, he'd do his work and he would simply slip out of the way. But I tell you what Jesus was very caught up in was to glorify the Father. And that's what we need to be caught up in every day of our life is to glorify the Father because he's been so good to us. And so his upward focus was for the Father's glory. And then his upward focus is about the Father's gift in verse number 6. He said, I've manifested thy name to the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. The Father's gift. The Bible teaches us that God gave a gift to his Son. I want to remind you in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, God gave a gift to the world. It was his Son. And if you'll believe in Christ, you can be saved. God died for everybody. He sent his Son to die for the sins of the world, not just a few, but he died for the sins of this whole world. Isn't that amazing that Christ died for me and you in every sin we'd ever commit? So therefore, the Father's gift, he gave the world his Son, but then he turned around and he gave his Son a great love gift. He gave him the church, the bride of Christ. And so today we see this upward focus about the Father's glory, the Father's gift, and then about the Father's grace in verse 6. He said, I manifested, I revealed your name unto the men that you gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and now they've kept thy word. Thank God for the grace of God that the world had us. We was born in this old world. But friend, when we believed in Christ, we left this world and we became heirs to another world. I'm glad this place is not my home. I looked out on my back porch this morning. I live in one of the most beautiful places in the whole state. God has so blessed me where I can live for a little while. But Brother David, I thought about this. This is not my home. But I've got a home yonder in glory land where I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim passing through this whole world. And thank God for His grace and His gift and His glory. And so here Christ, His heart is in an upward focus. He's glorifying the Father. Then secondly, not only is His prayer and His priestly work a upward focus, but there's an inward focus. Christ prayed for assistance. Look in verse 1. He's about to face Calvary. He's about to take on the sins of this world. Can you imagine the load of sin that was upon Christ? Just my sin would have loaded him down. But what about all of your sin and the sin of the whole world? And here this inward focus, he prays about assistance in verse 1. He said, Father, thy hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. He's saying, Lord, Father, I need you. And can I tell you, every day of our life, we need the Father. Whatever you're going through, we need God to help us with His great assistance. And so he prays this inward focus about His assistance. Then he prayed about his accomplishments in verse 2. He said, Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee. You hear that? That's why Christ came into this world, that you may know about the Father. Do you see that? That's why Christ came, not only to die for our sins, but that we might know God. He said, this is life eternal. What is life eternal? that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. There we see the Father and the Son. Yes, they had separate ministries, but they both were one. He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So here in this great priestly prayer, there's an inward focus about assistance. Lord, I need You. Then about His accomplishments. He said in verse 4, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. I read from one of the authors about this text yesterday, and he said much has been said about faithfulness. But he said faithfulness many times is written finished. Aren't you glad that Christ finished the work that God gave Him to do? And so that ought to be our heart. Let me tell you, you might have started wrong, but you can finish right by the good grace of God. I want to finish right. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Therefore, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for him. Oh, I want to finish right. And so here the Lord, His inward focus was about His assistance, about His accomplishments. But then in verse 5, He prayed about assurance. Isn't it amazing here the God-man, you know how the devil tempted Him in the wilderness. He said, if Thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If Thou be the Son of God, do this and do that. Jesus was just baptized in the preceding text, and the Spirit of God didn't come on John, but it came on Jesus. And heaven opened, and He said, this is My beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. But now the Lord's going through such a process, through such extremities, He prays for God to give Him assurance. We see Him here as the God-man. And He simply says this about the assurance. He said in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify Thou with Me, with Thine own self, the glory, look, which I had with Thee before the world was. Before this world was ever created, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Before God ever spoke it into existence, there was God the Son with Him in heaven. And He said, Lord, it won't be long. We'll be brought back together. Could you imagine when Jesus got on that cross and He cried and said, it is finished. They buried Him in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, honey, something happened. The stone was rolled away and Jesus was raised, the resurrection of life. Could you imagine that great home going when the Father received Him back into heaven? Could you imagine what the angels done when Jesus walked back in? Oh, man, He was praying in that inner prayer about that great assurance. I want to say this morning, if you don't have the assurance and the peace of God in Christ Jesus, you can have that today. You see, we're just human and we do need assurance. And I'm thankful that the Bible is still speaking in this day, in this hour. So in His great priestly prayer, you'll notice that He simply divided this prayer in His upward focus, in His inward focus. But now let's look at something on His outward focus. It involves you and I. The Bible said, verse number 6, on His outward focus, He prayed for our preservation. I'm glad we're kept by the power of God. I'm glad that I don't have to work for my salvation. I believe that a man, if he'll repent of his sins, call upon Christ, he can be eternally saved. The Spirit of God comes and lives in us. And He tells us when we do wrong. The Bible says we're sealed to the day of redemption. I'm His. He's mine. Thank God I'm going to heaven this morning. And I have that great assurance, this outward focus. He, verse 6, He prayed about our preservation. He said, I've manifested Thy name unto the men that You gave Me out of the world. Thine they were. Thou gavest them Me, and they've kept Thy word. Now they've known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are Thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gave me, and they received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they believe that thou didst send me. Preacher, let me ask you something. How do I get saved? You accept the word that he sent. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. You'll notice everybody that got saved received the word. They accepted that word. You must accept and receive Christ. And so here we see about our preservation. Verse number 9. Here it is. Underline it in your Bible. You're having a hard time in some days. Underline this and go to your Bible. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Isn't that something? But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Look at John 16:26. I've seen this little nugget verse to start to preach on this text right next door on the left of your Bible. Look in John 16:26. Underline this in your Bible. It is so good. I've heard all my life that Jesus prays for me. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? Look in the Bible. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. Oh, I'm so glad that Christ prays for his children. You know, his outward focus, he prayed about our preservation. Verse 12, he prayed about our protection. He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept. Look, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, he was never saved, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things speak on the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. There we see this outward focus. He's praying for his children, for those that have been saved by grace through faith. He is praying about their preservation and about their protection. I want to remind you in 1 Peter chapter number 1, the Bible said, verse 4, the inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Here's our text, who are kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, one of the main reasons that I know I'm saved, besides taking the Bible, knowing that the Spirit of God knocked on my heart one day, he dealt with me. The Spirit of God must deal with you. At that time, you must turn in your own way by faith and follow Christ. Not only has that happened in my life, but this right here has happened in my life where I'm kept by the power of God. I can't do the things I used to do. Boy, I want to do them sometime, but the one that lives in me. And sometimes when I slip up and do things I don't need to do, you don't have to correct me. The one that lives in me corrects me. He's with me in a bass boat. He's with me in a deer stand. He's with me in a pulpit. He's with me in a hospital bed. He's with me any place I go. He lives inside of me. Does Christ live inside of you? The outward focus. He's praying about our preservation. He's praying about our protection. I'm glad I'm kept. Oh, I'm so glad I'm kept. What if I slip up and make a mistake? I'm kept by the power of God. Not only is he praying about our preservation, praying about our protection, but look at verse 16, he's praying about our purity. Christ wants his church to be clean. He wants all of his children to confess their sins. You know why? Because he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, when I sin, it does not break my relationship. I'm in Christ. But when I sin, it breaks my fellowship. And I'm glad this morning, not only do I have relationship. Hey, look up here, I got fellowship. I'm glad he lives in my heart. And so is this great priestly prayer. He prays about the purity in verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Isn't this amazing? Let me say this before I leave this morning. I mean, all my, isn't it amazing how now that the modernistic churches They turn to the world and they look to the world. Yes, we are to go into the world, but we're not to be of the world. Jesus said, come out from among them and be ye separate. We're salt and light. You can't win nobody to God in your little social drinking. You can't win nobody to God playing around with sin. We are to be different for the glory and the honor of God. Salt is different. Yes, we're human. No, we're not robots. Yes, we have a life, but we're saved by grace. And we're not of this world, and we're not to act like the world. With a child of God, we ought not even need a sign, paper, and a contract, but I know you do have to have them. Our word ought to be our bond as a Christian. Our character ought to stand for something. And so here he's telling us that we're not part of the world. He's praying about our purity. He said, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Now watch this Bible right here. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to be more like Jesus? This is what you do. You read about him. Boy, I don't like that where he says, I got to pray for my enemies. I was growed up where you slap your enemies. Somebody say amen. I mean, I was raised the old-fashioned way, but when you get to reading the truth, we're being conformed to His image. And He simply says this, sanctify them, set them apart, purify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Even on a Wednesday night, you say, well, I don't like that preacher. Well, he's preaching out of the word. Amen, brother. I remember Brother Mike. He's in heaven now, one of the greatest preachers in America. He came here one Sunday, had on a black suit, had snow white hair. It was beautiful. He had a head full of the prettiest hair I've ever seen. Had on a red velvet vest. And I'll never forget, he sat right here and he pulled that vest back and he put that thumb right there and he started quoting. He quoted about 11 chapters of the Bible, didn't miss a word. And I had some people come to me after service say, preacher, he didn't even preach. Brother Brian, you know what they're saying? He didn't do like Brother Ken run around the house like somebody crazy. Honey, when a man is giving you the word, he's preaching. The Word of God is what we've got to have. Not the mechanics of man. Not the way a man does. But it is the Word of God that gets the job done this morning. Oh my. Paul said, some have planted, some have watered, but God giveth increase. And so he's simply praying about our purity. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sometimes just get your Bible out and just read you just a couple of verses. It's amazing how that purifies us and brings us closer to Christ. Then when we've got sin in our life, it magnifies it and shows it to us. And we can repent of that sin and get in right fellowship with God. Oh, I love to have fellowship with Him. Are you ever tempted to do things that your flesh loves and then when you do it, you break the fellowship? And it's so bad to be. I hate to get like that. I hate to lose my temper. Man, I'm like a keg of dynamite. I mean, I hate to lose my temper. How many times have I lost my temper with my wife and said things that I shouldn't have said? How many times have I... And people, let me tell you something. People on the road... I mean, people on the road. I mean, I want to roll my window down and do some ugly things. I know y'all don't. I know you don't. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, this word is so important. I'm all about, I love singing. Last Sunday we had one of the sweetest families up singing. But you know something? Somewhere I'm going to get the word out. For he chose the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching. But the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And on this last night as our great Lord walked this world, in his priestly prayer he had an upward focus. He had an inward focus. He had an outward focus. He's lets us know that He's prayed for us. I'm so thankful that His prayers are answered. And I'm so thankful. Yesterday I was pressing, God, thank You for the people that's prayed for me. This morning I had a text on my phone from a large group of pastors, and they said, Brother Ken, we're praying for you this week. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for people that are praying. I told y'all the other week that I got to ride that airplane. You know why that man flew into West Georgia? Brother David, it's amazed me. He called me and he said, I see Mount Zion Airport's close to you. I want to fly in. If you can pick me up, I just want to go to the church you pastor and pray for you. He got in his plane and he flew back for 2 hours to North Carolina. And I want to thank everybody that's ever prayed for me. There's one that I'm so thankful that prays for me. And He prays for you. Aren't you glad that He loves us enough that Christ prays for us? And so in this great priestly prayer, He had an upward focus, inward, outward. But lastly, it was an onward. Look what He does, church. Watch this right here, and I'm done preaching. The onward focus. He prayed about their harmony. Look in verse 21. He says that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. We're not going to win anybody to God as a church until we unite and come together as one. We can't become like the world. Yes, we do welcome anybody to come. I wish they're sitting all the way out to the highway on the sign this morning. But we're not going to conform to the world. We're going to preach about Jesus. And we're going to love people. And you know something? You look what this says right here. I want you to get this. He said that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in Me. Let me ask you something. Do you think that God sees the color of skin? Do you think God sees any race? Do you think God sees any rich people and broke people? No, God sees everybody as a soul. And that's the way we need to be looking at people. You say, Brother Ken, I don't like you. Well, I love you. Yes, sir. You say, Brother Ken, I really just don't like you. Well, let me tell you something. If we'll come together, we'll love as Christ loved. There'll be no big ones. There'll be no little ones. And He said, I'm praying on an onward focus. He is concerned about the church and their harmony. Verse 22. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Isn't it amazing, church, that when we have those services where it's not a dry eye in the building, I love it when the Spirit of God comes in. It seems just like He just sloshes us with buckets of kindness and goodness. That's what He's talking about. He said, when you can get in harmony, you'll experience the glory and the power of God. For we're all one in Christ today. There are no difference in us. You may own everything up to your neighbor and have a lot, and you may have nothing. You may be male, female. You may be black. You may be white. You may be red. It doesn't matter. For when we are in Christ, we're to become one. Our brother and sisters, as God the Father and God the Son, our onward focus, their harmony. Verse 24, look at this, Brother Mike. Not only their harmony, but their home going. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Christ longs to have us. Renee, and I said something about it last Sunday, but Renee's already planned tonight. They're going to come with the kids as they have this party this evening for these young ladies in the church. And then she said, you know, Ken, then we're going to go to the cabin. And I'm just going to order some pizza and we're going to get together tonight. And you know, I got to thinking about my children coming home. Can you imagine how forward Christ is looking for us? Us that He's died for and He's prayed for. And when we gather together in that city, you know, when we see Him, but oh, I think also Brother Brown, when He sees us, touches us with them nail scar hands. Miss Sherry, you come. I'm thankful I've got a high priest today that's concerned about our harmony. I told one of the men, I said, it seems that our church is doing better than it's ever done in 30 years. And I mean that. I don't have no oppositions here. I don't. My worst enemy is me and this mind. That's my worst enemy. I've told people after people, and you can ask them behind closed door, I feel like you're the greatest people in America that a man could preach and pastor. I believe that. Sure, we've got some things we could do better. But I thank God for the harmony this morning. I thank God for the homegoing, Brother Jerry. But lastly, on this onward focus, not only did He preach to us about our harmony, about our home, but He closes about the heart. He says in verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I've known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent Me. I'm convinced of that, aren't you? That God sent Him. And I've declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them. Now, look at this right here just a minute. Let's really get this thing right here. Verse 26. I've declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus said, a new commandment I write unto you, that you love one another. And you know something? Jesus was very concerned about our harmony, about our home going and our heart. How's your heart this morning? You may have an alt with your brother and sister. I want to encourage you to get that handled. You know, I know Brother Jeffrey's here. He don't mind me saying this. I didn't see him, and I seen him behind Brother Randy. Brother Jeffrey's been a friend of me and my family. This church loves him. He loves this church. But his wife left out of here Sunday week. No idea. The Lord had called her home. How many people do you know that has left a service? The Lord called them home. We're not guaranteed next Sunday. But, sinner, let me tell you what you're guaranteed today. The Lord would save you this morning. This morning, He would save you if you'd come to Him. And, Christian, if you've got anything in your heart that you need to handle just between you and the Lord, you can handle it this morning. And I love you and I appreciate your attention. Miss Sherry's going to...